Open your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 17. Acts chapter 17. And while you're turning, let me just say what a privilege it is to be with you all this morning. And how much we appreciate your pastor and Mindy. I tell you, Paul's a dear brother and a dear friend. We're just thankful for him. And as I know each of you are. Acts chapter 17. We'll be looking this morning, beginning with verse 22 down through verse 34 of Acts 17. And the title of this message, I'm horrible with titles, but the title of this message is Some Things Never Change. Some Things Never Change. Now, Paul had been brought to Athens, and we read in verse 16. It said that his spirit was stirred within him when he saw that the town he was in there, this town that he was in, was wholly given to idolatry. It was completely given over to the worship of false gods. Couldn't that be said in our day? Isn't that statement just as true today as it was back in Paul's time? Our towns and our cities are fully given over to idolatry, to false gods, to false religion, all in the name of true worship. But they're given over to idolatry. Yesterday morning, Abby and I ran to town. We ran to the bank there, and I just happened to look up as a stop sign, and on one block, there was literally some kind of church on every corner. I kind of noticed that on the way, the short drive on the way over here this morning. There's church buildings all over the place. In verse 18 of Acts 17, look here in verse 18. We read of some of these philosophers, some of these false teachers. And they were Epicureans and Stoics. I didn't know this, but I looked this up. Said the Epicureans, this is what they believed. The Epicureans said this: there's no first cause of anything. No first cause of anything. Everything happens by chance. They said there's no God. They said that the world and everything in it, again, the world came about by chance, and everything that happens in it happens by chance. Is that any different than what's proclaimed in our day? Isn't that the same thing that men stand in pulpits and broadcast all over the TV? Don't they say the same things? Well, then there were the Stoics. And the Stoics, they held to this belief. There's God, and there's a natural goodness in every man. Every man has a natural goodness in him. And that he has power over his own passions. Man's got free will. That's what's said. That's what's falsely said in pulpits all across this country. It's no different in Paul's time than it is today. Some things never change, do they? Some things never change. Look with me beginning in verse 22. We read here in verse 22 that then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill, and he said, "Ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things you are too superstitious." That word means religious. You're too religious. You're too religious. Verse 22. "For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, He says, I passed by and beheld the gods that you worship. I found an altar with this inscription. To the unknown God. To the unknown God. He says, whom therefore you ignorantly worship, him I declare unto you. Wouldn't you love to have been sitting there when Paul took off with that? Now in our day, for fear of leaving somebody out, or for fear of offending someone, men have done the same thing. They've got a God for everything. They got a God, they got a church that'll for everybody. If you don't like this one, we'll just go over here. Maybe you'll like what they've got going on. Or if you don't like people just bounce around. These folks in Athens, they didn't want to offend anybody. They certainly didn't want to offend another God. So they hung up this altar. They erected this altar so that no God would be left out. To the unknown God. Paul says, this God you ignorantly worship, I declare unto you, in this whole city of false religion, God had one of his choice servants to stand and proclaim the truth. Well, aren't we thankful that some things never change? Aren't you thankful that, I mean, you think about that. The Lord raised up Brother Henry in Ashland. And then it just wasn't too long after that, his son would end up right here in Rocky Mount to preach the gospel, to declare the true God. And I know this probably wasn't easy. Then at some point, he took Brother Gabe and he sent him down to Kingsport. Bless those people with the gospel. With the God you ignorantly worship, Paul says, I declare unto you. His servant's going to declare the truth. The truth to these people. Well, let's look at this message. Let's look at Paul's message here this morning. Let's look at what Paul had to say to these idolaters. The God you ignorantly worship. First, he says, him I declare unto you. We don't worship a what. We worship a him. He's Almighty God. We worship him. And he says this first. He said, God that made the world and all things therein. Solomon said, remember now thy Creator. He said, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. God that made the world and all things therein. He's the first cause of everything. He's the God of all creation. In the beginning, what's God? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. John 1, we read this. Turn over there. Turn to John. Just turn back at John chapter 1. I know you're familiar with this scripture, but let's look at it again. John 1, beginning with verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. Back there in Genesis, he said, let there be light. And there was light. And you go back this afternoon, back in Genesis chapter 1, and you'll see everything God made, he said, it's good. It's good. And then he, if you read there to the end of Genesis 1, he said, he said this, he said he beheld everything that he made, and behold, it was very good. God that made the world and all things therein. By the word of the Lord, our brother read this, by the word of the Lord were the heavens made and all the host of them by the breath of his mouth. God that made the world. Second, Paul said this. He said, he made the world. My friends, he's Lord of heaven and earth. He is Lord. He created it, and he sovereignly rules and reigns over every detail of it, every bit of it. And it's his to do with it as he will. Okay? He's Lord. David said in Psalm 24, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, the world, every bit of it, and they that dwell therein. He's Lord. God's word declares him as King of Kings. He declares the Lord Jesus Christ as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Turn back to Daniel. Turn back to the book of Daniel. Daniel 4. Another familiar passage here. Daniel 4. Remember what Nebuchadnezzar said? Nebuchadnezzar, look at Daniel chapter 4, beginning with verse 34. And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven. I want you to think about something here. If you go back, remember what Nebuchadnezzar had said? Nebuchadnezzar said, he said, is not this great Babylon, which I have built, which by the might of my power and the honor of my majesty? That's the natural man right there. But God met him. And look what he says here. At the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up my eyes into heaven, and my understanding returned to me, and I blessed the Most High. I praised and honored him that liveth forever and ever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation, and all the inhabitants of the earth, from the least to the greatest, all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing. And he doeth according to his will in the armies of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? He's Lord of heaven and earth. Third, neither is he worshipped with men's hands. Now that word worship, it can also mean served. Served. He's not served with men's hands. Now this is counter to the religion of our day. They create a picture of a weak, helpless, impotent God, a weak, helpless, impotent Savior who can do nothing, who is totally helpless apart from man's will. From man's will. That's the God of this world. That's the God that men have created. That's the idol of our day. They say this. They say he has no hands but your hands. He has no feet but your feet. He'll do this or he'll do that if you'll just take the first step. If you'll just make a decision for him. What kind of God is that? That's a false God. Okay? Turn over to Psalm 50. Psalm 50. I was going to read a verse here, but I'm going to read about half a chapter, okay? Look beginning with verse 1. Psalm 50, verse 1. The mighty God. That's the God of the Bible, the mighty God. Even the Lord has spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun unto the going down thereof. Out of Zion, the perfection of beauty, God has shined. Our God shall come. He shall not keep silence. A fire shall devour before him, and it shall be very tempestuous round about him. He shall call to the heavens above and to the earth, that he may judge his people. Gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. And the heavens shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself. Hear, O my people, I will speak, O Israel, and I'll testify against thee. I'm God, even thy God. I'll not reprove thee for thy sacrifices or thy burnt offerings to have been continually before me. I'll take no bullock out of thy house or goat out of thy fold. God doesn't need those things. He doesn't need those things. Because listen, every beast of the forest is mine. The cattle upon a thousand hills, they're mine. I know all the fowls of the mountains and the wild beasts of the field are mine. If I'm hungry, I wouldn't tell you. For the world is mine and the fullness thereof. While I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of goats, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High and call upon me in the day of trouble. For I, he says, I will deliver thee and thou shalt glorify me. We'll give him the glory. He said, I don't need anything. These things aren't yours to begin with. They're mine. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy. It has nothing to do with it. He says it's according to my mercy. My mercy. He saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost, which he shed upon us abundantly through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, our Savior. Almighty God is not served with men's hands. Well, fourth, Paul says this. He says that he's made, back in our text, he's made of one blood all nations. He's made of one blood. Not one man is better than another. It'd be like reaching into a handful of maggots and trying to pick out the best one. They're all maggots, right? Well, every one of us are descendants of Adam. Abby's aunt, she lived down in Texas, and she'd come home every now and then, and she'd look into the family tree. They'd go out and they'd visit different cemeteries and you go, well, this one was born to this one and this one was, and I can remember sitting in the living room and Dale telling her, he said, Ruth, you keep digging and you're going to find a limb or a branch that you're not too proud of. Well, that's true of all of us. Well, listen, if we want to trace our family tree back far enough, we can all trace it back to Adam. To Adam. We've all got that same sinful blood running through our veins. In Adam, God's word says, in Adam, all die. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. So much for that one group's argument about everybody having some natural goodness in them, right? Huh? All have sinned. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Fifth, Paul says this. He said, He hath determined the times appointed. Now, nothing has been left to chance. Where a man's going to dwell, how long he's going to dwell there, it's all ordered of God. He's determined everything. How long they'll continue. When a man's going to come into this world. When a man or woman's born. When God takes them home. The dates and times have been determined. They've been appointed. Moses said this to the children of Israel. He said, that thou mayest love the Lord thy God, that thou mayest obey his voice, that thou mayest cleave unto him. For he is thy life, and he is the length of thy days. That thou mayest dwell in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give unto them. He's determined the time when he would send his son into this world to suffer and die in the place of his people. When he would suffer and die on the cross. Over in Galatians 4, we read this. When the fullness of the time was come, it was determined. When the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law. He's determined the times. He's determined the time and place which he'll call his people to himself. He's determined the time when his sheep are going to hear his gospel, going to hear his word. Think about a few of these scriptures. I'll not have you turn there, but think about this scripture. He must needs go through Samaria. Huh? He must needs. And then think about old Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus had climbed up in that tree to get a good view of our Lord as he walked by. And I tell you, it says this. God's word says this. It says, when he came to the place, that particular place, when he came to the place, when Jesus Christ came to the place, he looked up and he saw him. He looked up and he saw him, and he said, listen, as he called him by name. He knows his sheep, doesn't he? He said, Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus. Told him the same thing he told Naaman. Come down. For today, this very day, the times are appointed, aren't they? He said, this day, I must abide in thy house. Well, we talked about this morning. He determined that little maiden girl would be taken from her family, and end up in all places. In all the places she could have ended up. There's only one place she could have ended up, and that's in Naaman's house. All that so Naaman could hear about Almighty God and his servant. So Naaman could be healed. Our God hath determined the times appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Now listen, three things here, starting in verse 27. Paul says this. He says that they should seek the Lord. That they should seek the Lord. If haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from any one of us. Seek the Lord. Throughout God's word, you know, it says that those that seek, they'll find him. Seek the Lord. Second, Paul says he hath commanded all men everywhere to repent, to turn from your thoughts about sin and yourself and take side with God. I'm in agreement with God. Repent. Thus saith the Lord God, repent and turn from your idols. That's what Paul's saying. Turn from your idols. And listen, what's an idol? An idol is, it doesn't take much to make it an idol. An idol is anything that's going to take our eyes off Christ. Anything that would turn our eyes from Him. Repent and turn from your idols. Well, and Paul closes with this truth. Look at verse 31. God hath appointed a day in which He'll judge the world. And listen, He's going to judge it in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men, and that He hath raised him from the dead. You know, when something's judged, you have a standard, and you see how things, you know, how they match up to it. Teachers, they look at a kid's work and they say, well, that's an A or a B or a C or a D or even an F, right? And it all depends on the student's work. Sometimes maybe they mess up and maybe somebody gets a little more credit than they should have, or maybe they don't get as much credit as they should. Maybe the student, the dog eats their assignment right, or the teacher loses their assignment. Any number of things can happen there, right? Well, turn to Ecclesiastes. Turn to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes 12. Look at verse 14 of Ecclesiastes 12. For God shall bring every work into judgment. With every secret thing. God sees all things. With every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. This judgment, you know, a teacher's judgment or anybody's judgment's subjective. You know, if I like somebody, I probably give them a little more or a little less. If I don't like them, maybe give them a little less credit. But listen, God's judgment is a righteous judgment. Okay? It's a righteous judgment. And it'll be according to his strict rules of justice and equity. There's no sliding by here. The standard will be God's righteousness, which is the very righteousness of the Lord Jesus Christ. Not how many good works you did. That's pretty easy to keep track of, isn't it? None. Because our best works are filthy rags in the sight of God. But according to God's righteousness. Again, the very righteousness of Christ. And many will say, we read this in God's Word. Many will say, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? And in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then I'll profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. Not righteous. But those that are in Christ, His elect, those chosen in Christ from before the foundation of the world, those for whom Christ was made sin, those for whom Christ has made them His very righteousness. The very righteousness, listen, the very righteousness, we can't even understand that, can we? The very righteousness of God. That's our assurance, isn't it? Isn't that our hope? Isn't that? Listen to this. As He is, so are we. He's exalted. He's at the right hand of the Father. As He is, so are we in this world. Right now. Righteous. Righteous in the sight of God. Only. Only in Christ. Only in Christ. And listen to the response here of these men. Those that were present that day. Some mocked. Some heard the word and they mocked. They had all kind of bad things to say about Paul. Earlier on there they said he was a babbler. An idle, good for nothing fella. Just a babbler. Some said this. Some said, we'll hear you again in this matter. Well, I kind of thought about Agrippa when he told Paul, almost you convinced me, almost you persuaded me. But listen, certain men clave to him. Certain men believed. God's word says this. He says, "My sheep, they hear my voice, and I know them. I know them." If you look there, it even mentions a few of them there in verse 34. A couple of our brothers and sisters are mentioned there, aren't they? Called them by name. Isn't that good news? In a city of idolatry, in a world of idolatry. God's still pleased to send forth His messengers to preach the truth about God. Preach the truth about man, sinful, dead in trespasses and sin. To preach the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ, and He's still pleased to save sinners. Some believed. All right. I thank you. Pray God would bless His word.